You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue our coverage, opinion, and commentary on yesterday's historic turn of events, we are now joined by Lauren Witzke, the firebrand former Republican nominee for United States Senate. She ran in a contested primary. She was not the Republican Party's candidate of choice, and she beat their guy anyway, and then ran a very spirited campaign against the Democratic incumbent. And since then, she has literally been everywhere. And we'll talk to Lauren in just a minute about what she's up to now. But first, Lauren, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, thank you so much for having me back. It's good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you back. And we were talking in the last hour, questioning whether or not we should feel as good as we do today. Matt Walsh wrote, "Don't be shy about delighting in the leftist tears. You deserve to feel this joy, and they deserve to feel this despair. So rub it in their face, by all means, and have fun with it. This is a great day." Do you feel that way, Lauren, in response to what happened yesterday?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's an amazing time to be alive. You know, we didn't think this would happen in our lifetimes. And we were able to witness and experience Roe v. Wade being overturned. And, you know, I have my criticisms of President Trump. I've been very critical about him with the vaccine and his promotion of the vaccine. However, this was a win for us, and it was because of him. And, you know, we have to, you know, honor that to a degree. We have to remember that, but it was, you know, just amazing. And yeah, we should be celebrating because we are going to end the sacrificial ritual of baby murdering in our country. You know, ever since Roe v. Wade, you have to watch as America has absolutely declined. We've descended into complete degeneracy, and that has something to do with, you know, the satanic rituals we've been performing in our nation. You know, it literally is a sacrifice to Moloch, which is a demon god. And, you know, I believe that, you know, we will be given a new kind of grace, you know, when we start reversing course, repenting of our ways, and turning to the Lord, that our country will change. God will pour out his blessings on our country, and we will be able to take it back.
Well, you know, Lauren, this is Keith. Roe versus Wade was certainly the biggest thing that came down last week, but there was also a decision the day before the Roe decision came down regarding gun rights that really is just as important in its own way. How can you have a Second Amendment when you are allowed to have a gun in your home? How does the gun get there? You're breaking the law if you bring it or take it out. And that was addressed by the Supreme Court in its decision the day before the Roe decision.
Right. And, you know, I thought it was particularly interesting that they gave us the Christian right, the right to protect themselves the day before Roe v. Wade. I think that was strategic.
That's right. The timing of it was not lost upon us. Yes, I noticed that. And, of course, the left was apoplectic about that. You know, and we hadn't even mentioned it. Normally we would have spent a couple of segments on that had it been any other week, and it's almost totally lost in the wake of the Roe decision. But that happened just about a day or two before. And, yes, Lauren, the timing of it was quite interesting.
It really was. And I think it was strategic, too. You kind of send a message like, hey, you know, we're going to give you the right to defend yourselves because literal demons are going to start manifesting themselves in the street. They're not going to be happy about this. You know, the churches, the Catholic Church was given, I believe it was one of the federal government agencies, maybe it was the feds, were alerting the Catholic churches like, hey, listen, like this decision is going to be coming out. And, you know, you need to start preparing because they're going to start targeting your churches. You know, they were given a heads up before this because we knew it was coming out this week. They had known and they knew what was coming. So, you know, it is important that we have the right to protect ourselves. And we were given, you know, it's our God-given right, you know, and it's the government that keeps trying to take it away. And, you know, it was just an interpretation of the Constitution shall not be infringed. You know, I wish we could go further with it, you know, a national constitutional carry is what is needed, you know, to protect ourselves. Especially because these people, the leftists, they're getting violent. They're getting bold and they're getting violent and they're dangerous. And we have got to be able to protect ourselves.
They are absolutely shell-shocked right now after loss after loss after loss that the conservatives have suffered. All of a sudden, the left has been cracked in the jaw twice in 1 week. And I would ask you this, Lauren. Is this the first of more victories to come? We've seen Clarence Thomas, and we were talking about this during the first hour, say, hey, there's a couple of other rulings we need to revisit. Could we see more rulings be kicked back to the states now that the template has been set here with Roe?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, I think that what we're going to be seeing, I know it's been dark. Like the last year, it's been pretty discouraging. I remember after January 6th and everything that happened, like I was discouraged. I was like, my country is about to descend into complete chaos. I don't know if we're going to be able to survive 4 years under Joe Biden. However, we are taking back ground. You're seeing the Christian right become more bold. We're realizing we can't negotiate with these people. You know, there's no more compromise. It's kind of like they're going to hate us anyway, no matter how much we give them. So we might as well take the whole thing. And I think we're seeing that spirit of boldness rising up on the Christian right, on our side, and we're starting to realize that, hey, like, we have got to start taking back territory or we are going to lose our country. I think we are going to see more wins. I know, like, the last year, we got to a point in America where we were using QR codes to enter a restaurant. Like, can you believe that? Can you believe we got to a point where it got that dark? However, you know, I think the tide is turning, something is shifting, and as God's blessings continue to pour out on our nation, as we repent for the sin and the cruel of evil practice of abortion, I believe that we will start seeing more and more victories, because I truly believe God's grace will be upon us after this. And, you know, we got to be bold, you know. They try to say, like, we as Christians, they play on our Christian compassion, like, oh, you have to be tolerant and accepting. No. Jesus drove out the money changers of the church with a whip. You know, he called a woman a dog. You know, like, he did not spare words when it came to calling out sin and evil and addressing that evil. And we have to take the same approach, because we want to be like, you know, he set the example for it. And, you know, it's our duty as Christians to follow that example.
Well, Lauren, I think that all of this has been facilitated by the dumpster fire known as the Biden administration. I've never seen a leftist make a bigger mess of things than Joe Biden has. You know, is this the gift that keeps on giving, or is it? Are they going to get him under control?
You know, what's really concerning to me is that his approval rating continues to drop. It is so bad. I think it's the worst. They're saying it's the worst presidency since Jimmy Carter. The economy is the worst. The inflation is the worst. And, you know, it's concerning because he sees his polling numbers and his approval rating numbers, and he doesn't change course. He doesn't change. He doesn't act to change policy. He doesn't act to change to fix things. That is what concerns me, because I'm like, okay, so he's not trying to run for re-election. You know, he cannot leave the economy and the country and the state that it's in. He knows that it's over for him. So who's really in charge, and what are their intentions with us? Because normal presidents would see their polling numbers drop and change policy to fix those polling numbers.
I'll tell you, I don't know if Joe even has the agency to decide what kind of eggs he wants for breakfast in the morning at this point, but we're going to take a quick break. We only have Lauren for one more segment, so stick through the break, and she'll be back with us. She's at an event. She's graciously stepped out to be with us this evening. She's always busy. She's always up to something. We'll talk about that next, and Christian nationalism. Stay tuned.
American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
We're back. One more segment with Lauren Witzke. And when I was texting with Lauren week before last, I said, let's get you back on the show. Let's talk about Christian nationalism, because I was seeing a real rise in the number of establishment news articles that was attacking and condemning Christian nationalism. Now, that's not unusual. Once one of them starts talking about something, they all speak with the same voice. And we're going to get Lauren's take on that in just a second. But before we do, as I mentioned before, when we talked to Lauren, she's always up to something. You came to know her, of course, during the 2020 campaign for the United States Senate. But since then, she's been involved with other organizations and certainly appearing on different media platforms. I saw her bebopping around in Georgia on the campaign trail a few weeks ago. Lauren, very quickly, before we tackle Christian nationalism, tell us what you're up to, who you're involved with, where people can learn more about your work.
Yeah, for sure. So after my Senate campaign, I realized the main issue we have is that all the wrong people run the media. They take the narrative and they run with it, and it's the most vile, evil people who want us dead. So I opened a media company, a Christian media company. We have interns where we train young conservatives in trades. We teach them how to produce content. I'm also the executive producer and president of the Stu Peters Network. So we are trying to take back the media. Unapologetic Christian politics, it's going very well. I also, do a little campaigning here and there. I'm just very involved. I stay very busy. I pretty much do it all. But I mean, this is the time to fight. We can't rest yet.
No, we have to fight until the Lord calls us home. That is our duty. And with that said, let's talk about Christian nationalism. When I saw the aforementioned number of articles attacking Christian nationalism, I said Lauren would be a good one to have back on the program to talk about it. And so, Lauren, I do believe that these people are afflicted with some sort of demonic possession. These people we were talking about, the people that would go out and shriek and cry and scream because it's going to be a little bit harder for them to murder a child, there's something otherworldly going on with them. And you see it not just in the rot of their soul, but in their outward appearance. I mean, there is something obviously very, very spiritually wrong with these people. And so we're seeing these simultaneously, these articles condemning Christian nationalism, talking about the threat of Christian nationalism. There's just been a real spike about it. I've never, we've seen them attack Christianity or white nationalism, but Christian nationalism, haven't really noticed it as much until recently. What is Christian nationalism? What's going on here? Why is the media taking such a keen interest to it?
Well, everybody forgets that America was founded by Christians for Christians who are fleeing religious persecution so they can worship the Lord freely. This was founded on Christian principles under God. We've always been a Christian nation. And, just because other religions, other ideologies have infiltrated their way into our federal government, as well as demonic Luciferian systems that have really taken a stronghold in the federal government, does not change the fact that the Christian principles that this nation was founded on, being a Christian nationalist, that's kind of what we're supposed to be, because that's how the nation was founded, under God. He wasn't found under Allah. He wasn't founded under Odin. He was found under the Lord. So, the America was founded under the Lord. And, being able to preserve that is important. And as you can see, Christian nationalism is rising. You know, people are becoming unapologetic. We are being loud as Christians. We are fighting hard as Christians. No more playing nice. You know, we just, and they're threatened by that. You don't realize, like, you see how much they seethe, how like, the fit they threw, because they are terrified. Because we're, you know, we have Jesus Christ on our side, and he is our greatest weapon. He really is. You know, and he is greater than any demon. He's greater than Satan. He's greater than anything that has infiltrated our government, our school systems, our the agendas that have happened where they're trying to go after children. You know, we're seeing it blatantly and openly. And, you know, we as Christian nationalists, we have to preserve the heritage of our nation, which was founded under God. And, you know, as you can see, we are taking back territory and we are winning. We're taking back ground. And yeah, you're going to see demons manifesting. You're going to see the most vile, evil things start presenting themselves because it's lashing out because it's losing. You know, they're losing.
Lauren, you are quite right about all of that, of course. And we did have a commonality with regards to faith. At the founding of this nation, and also of culture and heritage and indeed race. And how do you reconcile the problem that we have within the establishment churches now, who have basically added another commandment that you cannot be white and be proud of it, or you cannot be white and be anything less than ashamed of it?
The way I put it is they've exchanged the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
So even our churches are a little bit of a problem here, well, more than a little bit, and I'm not talking about the local church, which I've always belonged to, but at the denominational headquarters level, that's something that has to be addressed as well, though, as we're talking about this topic.
Yeah, and you know, we saw a lot of that with the evangelical church, we've seen it in the Catholic church as well. These compromises they're making covenants with evil. And that became very apparent, especially during COVID. You know, Jesus Christ didn't die on a cross. We could wear 6 masks and get 45 boosters. You know, that is not what he is. That's not who he is. However, you saw faith leaders partnering with the abortion lobby, partnering with the open borders lobby, partnering with big pharma to mislead their flocks. And let me tell you something, you know, people are dying for a faith leader who will fight for them. We're dying to find a church and a community who will stay true to the word of God. And you are going to see those churches grow. Now, for those who decided to compromise and partner with evil, God in his word says that he will judge them the most harshly. You know, he holds his faith leaders who lead his stray, who lead his flocks astray, he holds them accountable, and they will be judged very harshly for what they have done. And, you know, and that is the truth. You know, he says it right in his word. So, you know, we do have, you know, but if you have a good church, you have a good community, you have a good faith leader who held the line, even when every single other person, every other pastor was kneeling to George Floyd and Black Lives Matter. You know,
here,
if you have a good pastor, faith leader who held the line, you know, stay in that church, help build up that community, and get other people there. You know, that's how we can continue to surround ourselves with the good faith leaders, surround ourselves with good Christians, with like-minded individuals, because there are a lot. Yep, there are a lot who partnered with anti-white rhetoric, with anti-white leaders, with pro-vaccine, pro-mandatory vaccine leaders. You know, T.D. Jakes had partnered with Anthony Fauci during COVID to get his church vaccinated. You know, like, there is something very evil going on there, but the Lord judges them very harshly, and they will be held to account for what they have done.
Lauren, this is Keith again. It's dismaying to think that the cultural march, this long march through the institutions, has gone right through denominational headquarters of virtually every denomination,
including my beloved Southern Baptists.
Yep.
James was declared a heretic and driven out.
That's not just me. They threw out my entire congregation because they wouldn't
pastor,
ban me
because your pastor
member.
Wouldn't throw you to the wolves.
Well, it's all a problem. We say this all the time, Lauren. I mean, the churches are what but a collection of people from the local community. You're not immune to the poisons of cultural Marxism and anti-white ideology just because you walk through
the
threshold.
Why have denominational headquarters fallen for them like this? There's not a discouraging word against the left in, you know, mainline Protestantism, in fundamentalism, in the Roman Catholic Church, whatever.
Well, because men are weak, and when our ideas are trendy and in vogue again, everybody will fall back in line. But anyway, Lauren, listen, I want to thank you again for stepping out and being with us tonight. We'd love to have you back on again very soon. The final word is yours. We've got about a minute remaining.
Yeah, Patriots, we're winning. Continue to take back territory. Continue to be strong and bold and courageous. We have a long fight ahead. We do live under a Luciferian regime. However, it's good to remember that our God is greater, and he truly is. And be prepared to receive the blessings that he's going to pour out on us for ending the evil, cruel, and satanic practice of abortion. This is a win. And hey, now you have full exclusive rights to protect yourself from these demons as they come after you. So don't be afraid to use it. Don't be afraid to defend churches. Be on alert to defend your churches because they will be coming for them. They are mad. They are angry. They're frothing at the mouth. But you know what? We will hold strong. And I want to encourage everybody to continue to be strong. We are winning. Be encouraged.
Well, I can tell you at my church, the ushers are armed. I would recommend that for all churches.
Right.
But you need to be in downtown Memphis. But anyway, hey, Lauren, thanks so much again. We'll talk to you again soon. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Goodbye.
All right, Lauren Witzke, former nominee for United States Senate of the Republican Party out of Delaware.
Right. Hey, Biden's. They've got Joe Biden, and they've also got her. Which one do you choose?
Yeah, not a hard choice. Not a hard choice. All right. Well, she's right about, I was going to say one thing. She's right about a lot of things, but one thing in particular, and we'll be talking about it next segment, is the threats that are coming in from the left. And our good friend Rich Hamblin sent us one of these threats, which we'll share with you. One of many. When we come back, stay tuned.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Emotions are charged on both sides of the abortion debate one day after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade. Crowds gathered in Washington and elsewhere around the country. One demonstration on Friday night took a dangerous turn of events.
Police in Cedar Rapids, Iowa are investigating after a protest against the Supreme Court's reversal of Roe versus Wade appeared to turn violent when a truck driver drove into demonstrators as they crossed a street during the demonstration. Video taken showed at least two women directly in front of the truck as it drove into them. One woman was hospitalized after her foot was run over. From the USA Radio News Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Ellie Andrews.
This is USA Radio News.
Mike Capel here, serial entrepreneur with words from another happy payroll customer.
Patriot Software has saved our business by allowing me to focus on other aspects of the business rather than spending so much time on multiple platforms to do the things entailed on running a business. I found Patriot by complete accident, and I don't regret it. It is continuing to save our company, and I'm extremely excited to see what else it entails.
Easy to learn, easy to use, small business software tailored just for you.
Visit us at patriotsoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll free. That's patriotsoftware.com.
With patriotsoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
The last of the 21 victims in the Uvalde, Texas school shooting at Robb Elementary School was laid to rest on Saturday. Uzziah Garcia's funeral was held at a Baptist church some 200 miles away in San Angelo, where he lived before moving to Uvalde last year. 19 children and two teachers were killed when a gunman opened fire a month ago. Police response to the incident has been heavily criticized ever since. Despite coming off of a no-confidence vote and two special elections where the Conservative Party lost, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson remains defiant.
Let's just be absolutely clear, Michelle. If you're saying you want me to undergo some sort of psychological transformation, I think that our listeners would know that is not going to happen.
Johnson on BBC Radio dismissed the special election defeats as predictable. His party mates believe that scandals involving COVID parties during lockdowns have damaged his effectiveness. Wall Street had a winning week at the close on Friday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Trees swing in the summer breeze, showing off their silver leaves as we walked by. Soft kisses on a summer's day, laughing all our cares away, just you and I. Sweet, sleepy warmth of summer nights, gazing at the distant lights in the starry sky.
That's beautiful stuff. That is a quintessential sound of summer. It's a summer song. That's actually the title of it. Chad and Jeremy, good stuff as TPC's summer programming continues. We are literally in summer now. Technically, as far as the solstices go, the first day of summer was June the 21st, just the day before my birthday, and it's certainly hot enough, I believe it. But I believe after you reach the summer solstice, each day then begins to grow a little
shorter until the winter solstice on December the 21st.
Boy, we can't get there quickly enough. I can tell you that. Please.
He's a southerner that does not like heat or vegetables.
Please, fall, come quickly every day now. Once you get past the hump day of June 21st, you get a little bit closer to fall with every day and not a little further away from it. But anyway, hey, Keith, you want to go to the mailbag real quick?
Let's do it.
You want to go to the mailbag? Okay. How about this one from a listener in South Dakota? Dear James, you, Keith, and the rest of TPC continue to deliver an outstanding radio program. In a serious world, your program would have the popularity of someone like Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson. What you provide is the most important weapon in any arsenal, the truth. The truth today is so rare to hear in media that listening to it is really like the red pill memes you see on the internet. I really enjoy all the guests you bring on the show. It really shows the depth of the movement. Plus, it's inspiring to hear from so many talented people from around the world. And indeed, of course, we have been all around the world this year, our march around the world. We enjoy it. Adrian Davis was back on a couple of weeks ago from the UK, and we've got some more international guests planned.
A lot of people think that it's difficult for us to find all these guests, quite frankly.
It's difficult to work them all in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's so many talented people.
And,
our movement.
And we're a clearinghouse for them. And the SPLC may call us the nexus of hate, but we're a nexus for something far greater than that. Hate would never motivate me to take all the slings and arrows that I have, but love would. Love for our race.
Well,
love
know,
for
hate
our
is
people.
All right as long as you hate the enemies of the Lord.
Well, we certainly do.
And that's what
but
we're
that's not, but anyway, how about that letter from, this guy in South Dakota has been such a longtime supporter of the program. I don't remember him never not being there. And we so appreciate the folks who are quarterly contributors. Some are monthly contributors and some even more often than that, if you can believe it. But we are in the midst of our second quarter fundraising drive. Got a great incentive offer. If you can get them to market, we do live sadly in an increasingly third world society. I had planned by tonight to get out about 60% of the orders that have come in so far. We're sitting at about 30%. I have gone to the post office three different times this week, three different times, including on my birthday itself. And there was no clerk. There was nobody there. Now, I could drive 30 minutes down the road to find another post office. But it's amazing. You can go to the post office during normal business hours and the lights be off and the door shut. I'm like, what? You know, it's 10:30 in the morning. What in the hell is this? And then I went in one day this week, Keith, and there was somebody there. But she said the clerk or the person who takes your mail hadn't gotten to work yet. I said, well, okay. Well, can you help me? She said, no. And then one time, I got to say this too. One day this week, this was on my birthday, and my wife and my kids and I had a big, you know, big day planned. We were going to go to a splash pad. We were going to go to the local museum. We were going to take in a movie that we had tickets for. So I had to be somewhere by a certain time. So by the time they finally scanned in some of these gift incentive packages that we were sending out, got them all scanned, got the stickers put on them, the postage put on them, and then the computer froze. And they said they had to redo it all, but first they had to individually take off each huge sticker of postage. It's about, oh, I don't know, probably 4x6. It's one of these big postage labels for the priority mail. And they were trying to peel off the sticker, and it was, of course, not coming off smoothly. It was just tearing every time they would try to pull on it. And it took them about 10 minutes to get one off, and I had a whole lot there. And I said, listen, today's my birthday, to be honest with you. I've got to be somewhere. I can't stay and just watch you do this and then have to ring them all up all over again, because that takes long enough as it is. And what I had to do was I had to tear open each package, take out the contents so I could get out of there, then go home and repackage them to take them back to the post office and just hope God would be kind enough to let them be open when they say they're going to be open and actually have a staff there. This is where we're at. But we did get out 30% of the orders. I'd expected and hoped for a little bit more than that. But everybody will get their package. Believe me, folks, we're on it. But it's...
She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes, as we used to sing in music class.
Boy.
You know, we've had an increasingly dysfunctional society, and I hate to pick on the post office, but, you know, look at how they have now raised the rate for sending a letter.
We're going to have to start upping the amount of money it costs to get an incentive, or we're going to just break even with the postage.
It's incredible. You know, what's the thing about the three great lies? First one is the check's in the mail. The second one, you can't tell in Mitch's company. And the third one is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. That seems to be more and more the way it is, and in private business. You find people that apparently don't want to work. They just want to warm a seat for 8 hours a day and get paid for it.
Well, in any event, don't worry, folks. You know, I actually, Keith, I go the extra mile. I don't guess I have to do this, but I do. I am touched with a modicum of obsessive compulsive personality. And so I watch and I make sure that everything's delivered. I pay extra. I could pocket the difference, but I pay extra for people who care enough about the program to donate enough to receive one of these gifts that we always send out. We always want to say thank you. I pay extra to get tracking on it. And I make sure that everything's delivered before I throw away the receipt. And if it's not, we'll send out a duplicate. That's just the way I'm wired. And so, anyway, we will make sure everything gets there. It's hard to go through the Postal Service, but what else can we do? How about this one from a listener in Minnesota? South Dakota and Minnesota, Keith.
Right. Not in the heart of Dixie.
Your next-door neighbor could be a PC listener, folks. You just never know. Hi, James. As I write, this is 100 degrees in Minnesota, the land up yonder. By the time you get this, it's going to be 100 degrees in Memphis. I wish it was only 100 degrees down here. I wish I could send you some cool ice. Happy birthday. I thought you'd get a kick out of this card. I bought it a long time ago, not knowing who I was going to send it to. I hadn't even heard of TPC at the time. I don't think you'll ever find another one. I'm sure it's out of print by now. God bless you and your family. By the way, I never get tired of hearing the story of how you met your wife. It sounds like God's providence all the way. You're very fortunate. Well, yes, I am. Yes, I am, and thank you for writing that. I'm fortunate to have the wife that I have and to have listeners like you, my dear friend. And this is a birthday card that this lady sent me. And this is a real card. This isn't something she made. This is something with a barcode on the back. She bought it at a store, and it reads, "Happy birthday to a white male." Six minorities got together. This is the inside of the card. The front of the card says, "Happy birthday to a white male." Six minorities got together and decided you're still allowed to have a birthday. And I can't believe that, Keith. I mean, but here it is. You can see it for yourself. You see it.
And truth crops up in the unlikeliest of places.
Well, how about a card like that? I will
Hallmark
keep this
cards.
Card. I will keep this card. And she sent in a contribution. Hey, folks, maybe I spoke too soon. We had a little bit of a lull in contributions in the last few days, but we're still on pace. We need to have a good finish. Hopefully, if you have not yet sent in your contribution, you'll consider doing so. I know you have to go the extra mile as well and send it in via snail mail because we can't accept credit card contributions for now a year and a half and going.
We're
going
to be limited to Pony Express soon.
But we would appreciate your support, and certainly we appreciate all the support of everyone who has already send in their remittance. We love you. You know that. I mean, I spent a whole segment the first hour telling you how much I love you. But this is a show where the game is played. This is a show of record, a show that has been tried and tested many, many times, put through the crucible of the media. Never once have we apologized. Never once have we backed down. And it's just really amazing to think of all the media that this program has received over the years. Everybody, Entertainment Tonight on, I mean, everybody.
It's amazing how telling the truth draws attention to you.
Yeah, I tell you what, if you do it at a level that makes it dangerous, it certainly does that. Hey, Media Matters. Media Matters said 2016, top 25 people responsible for Trump's nomination. We were on the list. Hillary Clinton said a week before the election, if Trump gets elected, James Edwards is going to be shaping the country. That's probably a little overzealous, but that's what the enemy thinks about us.
You're the leader of the deplorables.
I don't know about that. No deplorables in this audience, that's for sure. Hey, folks, we're going to take a break, and we will come back. We'll tell you about some of those threats of violence.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
But don't you know that it hurts me so to say goodbye to you? Wish you didn't have to go.
That's just absolutely beautiful music. That's all it is. Keith, what happened to the nation that used to produce music like that? You got to turn your mic on, though. That's the thing.
It has developed along the liberal continuum to, depravity, I guess, more and more. You know, you get, I really am amazed. I've lived a life that has seen America basically transcend into the pits, and hopefully we're seeing an about-face on that now with the reversal of Roe versus Wade.
Look, we don't want to oversell it. We don't want to say it's more than what it is, which, again, to me, is not a top-five issue, frankly. But it makes the left upset, which I enjoy. And
there's nothing that really satisfies you like seeing them discomforted.
That's right. I mean, there is something to that. It's not an issue that's not important to me. It's just I would settle some other issues first.
Basically, I would like to see yours is, I think, what would you say your number one issue is, James?
Oh, boy. Publicly?
Yeah. Immigration or what?
Yeah, well, I'd certainly immigrate, all kidding aside. Immigration. We need immigration. We need another Operation Wetback. That would be number one.
And mine is affirmative action.
Stop it and then send them back.
Well, see, mine is affirmative action. That is the way that they have basically put all talented white people into a cul-de-sac. We're not going to be able to get the type of jobs and the leadership positions in society that we deserve based on our merits. And that is the main issue that I think needs to be corrected if America is to have a future.
Here's another one from a listener in Arkansas. When I listen to TPC, it warps time because it goes by so quickly. It distorts it like Einstein talks about. Well, I agree, and for us as hosts, it does seem to do that every week, I can tell you that. So a time warp, it's so enjoyable, and time is slipping away from us. So you heard from Lauren Witzke earlier this hour. In the third hour, you'll hear from Brad Griffin, and we're going to continue this conversation based upon yesterday's Supreme Court
last week's decisions.
That last week and yesterday, and we'll be talking about the prospects of a national divorce and all of the trigger laws that have gone into effect, all of the states that had this at the ready because they knew it was coming. I mean, we're talking about states that have literally banned abortion, in fact, since yesterday's news. And so that means they had it at the ready. When the word came down from SCOTUS that they had safe harbor to act as they wished, you have state after state after state that has already pushed it through their legislature.
See, I love it. It's a 1-2 punch. Don't just let them sit there. Keep, not kick them when they're down. That's what we need to do.
How about this, though? Lauren Witzke made mention of the fact that, of course, Merrick Garland's Department of Social Justice notwithstanding, it's not white people, it's not nationalists like us who are going to do them any harm.
It's the left.
It's the left. It's always the left. And this is something that our friend Rich up in Middle Tennessee sent us. Now, this is one example out of hundreds, thousands even, we could have used to illustrate our point here, but this basically gets you at the heart of where Antifa and even Black Lives Matter, but certainly the radical feminist left is at. And this I'm reading now directly from a comment posted on a discussion forum about what the left should do, or what this commenter advises the left to do in response to yesterday's news. And I read, and I quote, "The radical Christians are found in the rural areas. Their towns are defenseless. They have almost no cops and firemen or volunteers. They have to borrow cops and firemen from neighboring jurisdictions miles away in order to handle anything big, and they think they're safe out there. Forget burning cities. Cities are on our sides. It's time for rural areas to feel the heat. You show up 100 deep in every rural town in a 50-mile radius intent on revolution. You'll crash their system and make them pay. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm dead serious. This was caused by backward-ass rural conservatives operating out of a Christianized worldview. They were the ones who voted for Trump in 16. Those disillusioned, redneck, white trash, blue-collar types who flipped massively for the GOP. Punish them. Punish their towns. They say BLM burned cities to the ground. I say let them see firsthand what it's like when a community is truly burned to the ground. They want a war? They should be careful what they asked for. I say, Keith, please, please do what you say you're going to do here. Because I think it was one of the wartime leaders said there's a rifle behind every blade of grass.
Yeah, I think it was Mao Zedong who said don't invade the United States because there's a deer hunter with a high-powered rifle behind every tree. Well, I think they might find that out in a hurry. Also, man for man, fighting the girly men and the perverts, populate the left with the stout-hearted lads and lasses here in red state America and in the rural areas of blue state America, it would be no contest, believe me.
Well, but this goes to show, I think, and this it serves as just a window to illustrate the point, that this is what the left believes. This is what Lauren was talking about earlier. This is what's in their hearts. This is what they want to do. But all we hear about is January 6th. You've got people, yeah, January 6th, the people at January 6th putting their feet up on Pelosi's desk and these little
after
old ladies
being invited
packs,
in.
But invited in
and
by
only 125 actually made it into that building, but they're going after 2,800.
And they stayed in queue and they stayed in line. They didn't even, transcend
pictures.
The boundaries of the ropes there in Statuary Hall. But then we have stuff like this, and of course, there's nothing to see here with that. But I think I will tell you this, though. I would be concerned for my life if I was Supreme Court justice. I think the Supreme Court justices who voted for this, their lives are in much greater danger than any of the cowards who were hiding behind seats at the Capitol on January 6th. The threats from the left are real.
Yeah, the threat from the left, they want to take out the five or six justices that they think are not certified liberals.
And you already had the one guy arrested just a few days ago who had a gun on the property of one of the justices.
And furthermore,
you
have the Democratic leader of the Senate, Chuck Schumer, basically calling out those justices and saying, you know, we're coming for you. Likewise, you had, Merrick Garland, the head of the Department of Justice, refusing to provide armed protection for these justices. Look, it's pretty apparent what the left is trying to do. What the left is trying to do is, you know, so much worse than anything that the right has done. We haven't gone after anybody. You know, we had all of these, you know, decades of liberal activism on the Supreme Court. Nobody made threats like this against those liberal justices. This tells you who the dangerous fanatics are and who they aren't.
More comments coming in. James, y'all blow Tucker away. You know, Tucker's all right. Do we blow him away, Keith?
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm glad Tucker is where he is. On the other hand, I think we ought to be right there with him.
Another listener writes, happy birthday week, James. Fun fact, Elvis died at 42. I hope, though, you've taken better care of your body than Elvis did his. Hey, you know, there's a new movie about Elvis where Tom Hanks plays Colonel Parker. I think it's more of a movie about Colonel Parker, to be frank with you.
It's made in Australia, of all places, but they had the, gala grand opening or what do you call it when a newspaper, I assume when a movie is debuted?
Premiere.
Premiered here in Graceland in Memphis. So
a movie about Elvis.
Yeah, right. But see, this Elvis is, you know, an icon. And he is, you know, quite frankly, I know people that knew him well. And, you know, he was a mixed bag. There's no doubt about that. But there is a person that I know closely whose mother was the head of the cafeteria at Humes High School where he attended. And he was a poor boy, lived in the housing project, so he didn't always have lunch money. And she would feed him out the back door. Well, guess what? Elvis sent her a dozen roses every year on her birthday, and she had a open invitation to come to Graceland. So, you know, that's
everybody in Memphis who was alive at the time when Elvis was alive has an Elvis story of kindness and thoughtfulness and generosity like that.
I don't know that you'd want your daughter to date him, but on the other
he was from Tupelo, Mississippi, and you know, it's actually, this comes back full circle to the overall theme tonight. Mississippi, the Confederacy, is at the heart of all of this because it was a case stemming from Mississippi that the justices took up with regards to Roe. So as someone wrote it, and this is really well written, honor rests under a magnolia tree today.
That's it. Absolutely. See, there are some places that just cannot be shaken from their Christian roots and from the goodness of the American founding. Mississippi is one of those places.
And, of course, you were down there last week with the Trump himself. You were at the event reporting live, and we talked about that. I told you tonight at Supper Keith, you did a great job reporting from the scene, taking us there.
Well, I was being harassed by the staff there. They were trying to get me out of the aisle and get me out of watching what he was saying. So I'm sorry if, you know, I sounded a little bit discombobulated.
I think you did a good job. No, you did a good job. You took us there. It was at the Trump's Win Back America tour with the so-called conservative dream team.
Well, I can tell you this. South Haven, Mississippi, which is right over the line from Tennessee, is where I practiced law for 24 years. And my law partner used to say that DeSoto County, Mississippi, was the most Republican place on earth. And he was probably right.
We got to take a break. Well, they are, because there's so many blacks down there, so they know it. And the white Republican base in Mississippi votes more as a block than any other state in the country.
They are racially aware.
Got to take a break. Brad Griffin up next from Occidental Descent. We continue our discussion.
I believe